All right, so we are really trekking, trending, going towards the end. The end is in sight. We're almost there. And it's interesting, sort of the maybe coincidence or irony of this past week and the struggle that some of you are facing and looking at what is the end in sight. And that is a struggle to prioritize. And that's part of why we talk about this, right? So I'm not going to name names, but I thought it was funny that I received a couple of emails that sort of speak to the difference in the ways that we can handle prioritization of work-life balance. What have you sort of asked for? Permission, forgiveness, absolution, whatever, what have you, in terms of submitting a paper late. And there's so few of you in this class that are participating that I was a little generous and like, you know, and it wasn't super late. So I was like, yeah. And the person acknowledged that they were not lost on the lesson that as we're talking about work-life balance, that they might have botched that. And I find that fascinating in comparison to another student who has kind of looked at the syllabus and knows what the late, you know, behaviors are or are not, and that I provided a point bank that you can use ahead of time, if I know ahead of time. And this person has said, hey, I want to use my points over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, it's perfect, right? That's kind of why I did it that way. Work-life balance is a problem across the board. It's a problem when you are a traditional undergrad and you are trying to, say, pass your courses, be an athlete, be a performer on stage, maybe have a job, have a life, have a significant other. It's a lot. And when you are my age, or you know, maybe the age of some of our non-traditional students or post-traditional students, it's different, right? You're maybe not an athlete anymore. Maybe you don't perform somewhere every weekend, but you have a full-time job with its own demands. Maybe over time you have a significant other and maybe kids and a household to run. And, you know, a household to run sometimes is different than thinking through, well, I have an apartment I share. Well, yeah, might have chores, but you, if you have a household, right, you've got to do the repairs, you got to mow the yard. It is a lot. And it is one of the things that for the last, you know, decade and a half, you know, dozen years, I've taken extremely seriously, because I know I've probably said this to every class in this section or in this course up to this section, saying, you know, what you don't ever want to do is get to a point of being so busy. And in particular, even with work, rewarding or not, where you get to your deathbed and say, oh, I really should have done some other stuff. I can't think of anyone on their deathbed who said, I really wish I went to that other meeting. I really wish I put in another, you know, 10 hours at work. There may be some who will have a regret of not doing something at work that may have been successful, but it's rarely putting in more time. You know, the lessons that come up from a number of leaders in their biography is, oh, I really wish I had spent more time with my family, my loved ones. I even read something in the last 6 months where Bill Gates of all people had said something like, oh, I finally realized that family is important. Well, that's a really silly thing to say. Like, what? You just now? I mean, again, you're a big owner of the universe right now, but you would have thought somewhere in there you would have known your family is important before you get to your retirement age. And not that he doesn't do some other not that he doesn't give stuff away. Can't say the word. So this is a real challenge for a number of people. And the thing that will come to you, if it hasn't already, and the thing that I really try to coach a lot of people around and out of is burnout. It's a real thing. And I think the reason that I I get agitated with things like burnout, and the work-life balance equation is you don't get anything for it. And what I mean by that is, yes, you can burn yourself out at work, either get overtime, get a promotion, there's a lot more money to it. You're going to find it actually isn't going to make you happier or healthier. Most recent research points out that if you make, and again, if you're starting your career, I know this is a big leap, and if you're mid-career, maybe it's not even a leap, but it's what they've done in the research is, if you're making somewhere between $75,000 to $100,000, that's about as happy as you're ever going to be. You're not happier when you make $200,000. And part of it is, right, what realistically happens, the more money you make, the more stuff you buy that has to be maintained. And, you know, oddly enough, the best way, the way that you're happiest if you want to spend your money is, yeah, if you, I mean, this is going to be weird, but you will actually be happier as opposed to buying a new toy of some kind, paying someone to come like clean your house or clean your apartment once a week or once a month. And the reason being is you are happier when you sort of buy back some of your time as a matter of convenience. Now, I'm not telling you all to go get a cleaning service, but that's the weird trade-off. People find out they're happier when they have time, when you have time to sort of sit and do things. I find it very apropos right now, if you are reading the news and you're paying attention to Iceland and one or two other European countries who have performed an experiment of going to a four-day work week. And it's been met with either the same as or improved productivity. I've even seen memes that I think are funny that say, if we had a four-day work week, wouldn't it be great? Because I could effectively work my 4 days, and then I could, you know, spend a day getting all my chores done, because there's always like a doctor's visit or an appointment I have to have personally that I'll take time off work for. Then I have a day I can just party, if that's your thing, right? Or in my case, go play golf guilt-free. Oh, and then a day to actually just rest and recover. And you may say, well, we do this now, right? We partied up Friday night, spend Saturday doing chores and Sunday resting. Maybe, right? I think a lot of people try to pack in way too much in what's really 48 hours, not 72, because by Sunday night, you're already starting to think about work and getting ready to do other stuff. It's also apropos because I'm doing a book study with our director of diversity, inclusion, and engagement here, Saida Eccles. And we're reading a book by Dr. Barbara Peacock called Soul Care in the African American Practice. And the chapter I just read for this week is about rest. And it's the same thing. And so I'm going to read you a couple of passages just because it's timely, right? So Dr. Washington, this chapter is on Dr. Washington. He writes, the tragic consequence of our alienation from you, the you is God, are manifold, but none is greater than our captivity to a busyness and profanity that devalues visits to your archives, which means we are so busy that even if we do have a spiritual life, it's usually already in jeopardy. We're already thinking about other stuff. And then she has this neat little acronym that even she says is probably a bit extreme, but I like it. She said, so Dr. Peacock here says, somewhere I heard the word busy used in an acronym that's appropriate for our discussion, and it's called being under Satan's yoke. And she says, that might be stated too hard, but it's a real thing. And philosophers, theologians, pastors, life coaches are all sort of dealing with it. And I think a couple of you dealt with it this past week. And I just want to encourage you to just hang on, right? Because we're so close these the last 2 weeks, and you guys are actually doing really well. So keep up the good work.